Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Jericho stepped into this role during a critical time of strategic competition, increased pressure on the accession pipeline, and a growing demand for speed, readiness, and innovation across our training enterprise. And Caesar didn't just lead during this time, he transformed.
We will not be led by a Caesar. Well, we were led by a Caesar because the call sign for Admiral Jeff Jericho is Caesar. And he was the commanding officer of Naval Education Training Command, the largest shore command in the entire Navy. Touches upwards of, almost every aspect of naval preparation is touched by them. Not everything, but almost everything. As, you know, the largest shore command, two-star command, used to be a three-star command. I did not know that, but it used to be a three-star, now it's a two-star command. And Admiral Jericho is going elsewhere in the Navy, not publicly revealed yet. But that's the reason that it's been cut short. You know, it's normally a 3-year tour. The admiral's usually there for 3 years, and usually they retire. You know, all of the other admirals that I have known have all retired. Mike White retired, and Don Quinn retired, and who am I forgetting? I know I'm forgetting one, and I can't think of his name right now. Jericho is not retiring. He's moving to other things. His replacement, of course, came in yesterday. Admiral Greg Huffman, call sign Capo. We don't know why. He wouldn't tell us. I asked. You know, I always ask. You know, what's your call sign? And they don't. Sometimes they don't say.
Why Capo?
I can't tell you that, sir. It's classified.
Dang it. I'll find out eventually. You know? And then, of course, it's always, did you find out the real story? Did you find out the story for public consumption? Because sometimes call signs, nobody wants to admit what they were really given for. But, yeah, Admiral Rick Cheeseman, who is a three-star, he is the chief of naval personnel. He was the one who gave the introductory remarks yesterday at the Naval Aviation Museum atrium on board NAS Pensacola in honor of departing but not retiring, Admiral Jeff Jericho, talking about the challenges that he had running NETSI, and this is a time of, you know, great challenge. He transformed the organization.
One of Caesar's most significant contributions was the growth and institutionalization. Who puts an 8-syllable word in their in their speech?
That's funny.
Was the growth of warrior toughness. What began as a performance optimization program became, under his guidance, the mindset and culture shift throughout the Navy. Through expanded training, revised curriculum, and new apps, and fleet integration, warrior toughness is now a core part of how we prepare sailors to thrive in the most demanding of environments.
Yeah, and keep in mind that they are all well aware that we are on the edge of war with China. I mean, China can roll the dice at any time, and it's basically expected that they will. Our goal is to deter them. How do you deter? Well, being better at killing. You know, that's how you deter. But, you know, innovating towards a war footing ready Navy has been the orientation for years.
And let's not forget ready, relevant learning. Under Caesar's guidance, it went from a buzzword to battle-tested capability. Curriculum across more than 30 ratings were rewritten and developed through advanced systems to the point of need, ashore, afloat, and around the world. This effort was no small feat, and the result is a Navy better trained, more agile, and more lethal.
Ratings are like jobs, if you want to think of it that way. It's just, I know that, you know, military always uses its own weird terminology for everything. And, you know, of course, as Cheeseman says, you know, this is a great legacy. Jericho did outstanding work for the last 2 years, now being replaced. And, you know, we expect great things from Admiral Huffman.
Caesar, your impact on the Navy and on our sailors and on this domain will be felt for years to come. You leave behind a legacy of progress, professionalism, and purpose.
And by the way, one of the things that is a unique feature of Caesar is that he's got a bunch of kids. I always get the number wrong. He's either got 7 and 6 are in the service, or he's got 6 and 5 are in the service. But like all of his kids. He recruited all of his kids. And the one who's not in is like military adjacent.
Olivia, a Navy pilot. Christian, a Navy NFO. Regina, a submarine officer. Rosemary, a United States Marine Corps flight student. To Cecilia, a Navy nurse. Xavier, off in college. Colette, going to the academy very, very soon. And Annalisa, who at 14, I hear, wants to be a Navy nurse. Your collective service and achievements are extraordinary. I mean, absolutely extraordinary. Few families in the Navy can claim such a legacy of commitment, courage, and leadership. We thank you all for the sacrifices you've made and continue to make. And Caesar's recruiting efforts clearly are on point. So it paid off.
It's funny because Natsy oversees Navy recruiting. So, you know. Anyway, you know, he brushed up the numbers himself, which is amazing. I mean, and what is that? What, I guess I miscounted. I think it was 8 kids, and 6 or 7 of them are in the military or military adjacent. One's not yet, but, you know, will be eventually, which is great. And, I mean, that's fantastic. I mean, amazing. You know, the incoming guy's got, like, he's got 3 and 2 are in the military. What a performance, you know? I mean, but he was great. I got to meet him yesterday. So, of course, you know, Cherico leaves after 2 years. And again, going on to wherever he's going.
I've had the pleasure and the privilege of calling Pensacola home for the past 2 years. I wasn't going to say it, but I left under a cloud with my Flounders band. That's been resolved. We talked about that 2 years ago. We're good.
Yeah, he mentioned in his incoming speech that he had gotten banned from Flounders when he was here. What are the details, sir? We don't talk about it. That also came up. Brent Lane was in the afterwards interview gaggle, and
tell us your Pensacola story from the '80s.
those are all censored, I think. You know, the '80s was a long time ago.
Nobody remembers. Nobody cares. That's not important. And the motto of the story being that you know, you can get banned from Flounders and still wind up being a 2-star admiral. You know, it's fine. It's no big deal. It doesn't go down on your permanent record.
As we said, this is the largest shore command of your Navy. To put this scope and scale into perspective, NETSI oversees 624 subordinate activities, 251 training sites, employs over 24,000 staff. And each day, NETSI is resourced and manned to train 33,000 sailors. Preparing them to meet the challenges our Navy faces worldwide on any given day, 21% of the Navy's end strength, its greatest resource, its people, are assigned to this command, and it is a lot to handle as a 2-star. Good luck, brother.
251 schoolhouses overseen by NETSI. 23,000 people work for him, and he oversees basically a major university, if you want to think about it. You know, currently 33,000, there's like 49,000 total in the pipeline. So that's, you know, University of Florida, Florida State, Michigan, Ohio State, Alabama, Auburn. What, you know, I mean, it's a huge responsibility. And the, you know, the 2-star, the commanding officer at NETSI is basically the president of that college with, you know, a lot more power than even a president of college would have because, you know, there's no, like, board of directors. It's him, you know, and then, you know, the people that he reports to. This is schools command. This is naval air technical training. This is information warfare training on board Corey. This is the backbone of our force development. This is everything the Navy depends on. And, you know, I mean, just an enormous scope of things. And I love the way he described his role, like his job as NETSI commanding officer.
And force development is the mission. Taking an American who wants to serve something greater than themselves, and then convincing them that the United States Navy or Marine Corps is the best place to realize that vision. And then they must swear an oath to support and defend the Constitution of the United States, that my teams welcome them into naval culture. By welcome, I mean we take them in and break them down and rebuild them into a lethal and survivable team.
Yeah, come on in, kids, come on in. And out you get to be a man or a grown woman. You get to be an adult. You get to be a naval product. And you know how to kill people effectively to serve your role in the team in order to make that happen and in order to deter our enemies. You know, you're the barrier between us and war. or you're the barrier between us and the aggressor, either way. So, yeah, it's I love that. Taking in somebody who wants to serve their country and turning them into the weapon that they're supposed to be. Greg Huffman, for his part, the new admiral incoming, got a chance to talk with him a little bit. He also, you know, he's got, like I said, he's got three kids. Two of them are in the military.
My kids could not be here today, but to Matt, Lauren, and Nick, and Carly, Robbie, and Kat, those are children and spouses. Really am incredibly proud of all that you are doing. Not as abundant as the Jericho family, but we also have a few folks serving. Matt is a naval aviator flying F-18s, and Nick is also a naval aviator flying MH-60 Romeos, serving with Olivia at HSM 41. And Lauren is a clinical counselor focused on serving military families and veterans. So they are continuing to serve as well.
So the MH-60, that's the Seahawk. Okay, so one son flies a helicopter, so he did all of his training at Whiting. I don't know if he did his preliminary, but he did his helicopter training at Whiting. His other son flies F-18, so he probably did training at Whiting. And, of course, both would have started at NAS Pensacola. And his daughter is in, you know, a nurse working on military health things. So what's interesting to me is that both of these guys, both of them have not just kids, but kids in the military right now, meaning they're the commanding officers of the most significant training command in the Navy, preparing the next wave of fighters. You know, the ones that we're going to go to war with if we have to go to war in the next 5 years, they're training. And their kids are part of that, or have just recently been a part of that. Meaning that, A, they're motivated, right? But also, B, their kids are there to help them, to tell them, you know, here's what's really happening in these various training pipelines. We really understand all of this. And he's, by the way, Huffman, he was the first commanding officer for the brand new aircraft carrier, the Ford. He was the commanding officer of Carrier Strike Group 12. And he was also in INDOPACOM, India Pacific Command. He has seen the Chinese threat up close.
Having spent the last few years in the Western Pacific working for the Indo-Pacific Commander, I have witnessed firsthand the existential threat that we face. The very security and safety of the world is in the balance. We need warfighters on the front lines, warfighters that come from all walks of life in the United States and are molded into professionals ready to respond and protect. The work here at NETSI is absolutely critical to the security of our great nation.
Yeah, and again, he gets it both from his kids, both from being, you know, a Carrier Strike Group commanding officer, and as Jericho called him, the best military strategist that he knows, and, you know, being up close and personal with China in his INDOPACOM service. So he really does know exactly what needs to be done, you know, as well as anybody can possibly know. So I am very excited for the future of NETSI here on board NAS Pensacola. This is, again, this is the only flag officer in our two-county area, just to put it in perspective. There's only one admiral or one general, okay, in our area, and he's it. Now, he doesn't run. People often get confused. He doesn't run. You probably know, but because we've talked about this a lot. But in case you don't, it's okay. He doesn't run NAS Pensacola. NAS Pensacola is run by a captain, Mama San, Chandra Newman. And, you know, she doesn't report to him, although captains do subordinate to admirals, but it doesn't work that way. And he doesn't report to her, obviously. He's just a resident. You know, she runs the city and he runs this massive college that has its headquarters on board NAS Pensacola. You know, we've talked to him. He was in for, you know, tenant commands, and we have a good relationship over the years. And best of luck to him and whatever he's going to do next. I can't wait to find out what it is. I don't have a theory. I'm not going to offer you a speculation. But if they're not announcing it, that's interesting to me because it's never been that way before. They always retire from this command post, and the fact that he is, A, not retiring and leaving a year early of what's normal is interesting to me. But big shifts in the military, as we all know, across the services. 524 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
This is the story of the one. As a safety manager at a manufacturing plant, he does everything he can to keep his coworkers safe. From finding ways to reduce risks, to keeping safety supplies in stock. And for that, he relies on Grainger. Grainger offers a broad range of quality products and next-day delivery, so he can always play it safe. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Still getting around to that fix on your car? You got this. On eBay, you'll find millions of parts guaranteed to fit. Doesn't matter if it's a major engine repair or your first time swapping your windshield wipers. eBay has that part you need, ready to click perfectly into place. For changes big and small, loud or quiet, find all the parts you need at prices you'll love. Guaranteed to fit every time. But you already know that. eBay. Things. People. Love. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
At Pensacola Christian Academy, your child will thrive in a safe, caring environment designed to build a solid foundation. Kindergartners become confident readers, develop fine motor skills through cursive writing, and sharpen problem-solving skills with engaging hands-on learning. Experience the affordable excellence and unmatched value of Pensacola Christian Academy. Learn more at enrollpca.com/radio.
News Radio 92.3, get your live programming every day from 5 a.m. until 7 p.m. on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Go ahead. Make my day.
I always know I've got a good sound clip of the sort that everybody knows when it's 5 seconds long and, 3 seconds long, and after the first two words, John's finishing the quote.
Yeah, for sure, man.
526 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, Andrew. Right here with your headlines. Barack Obama says the U.S. is heading dangerously close into autocracy. The former president speaking in Connecticut earlier this week on Tuesday, and he said the current political climate is not consistent with American democracy, but with autocracies.
It because it's so completely Obama to pick a word that only a professor would know, right, as your insult. You know, like, you're such a theocrat, you stupid philologist. You know, like, you know, just an autocrat. Oh, no, not. Wait, what does it mean?
You know, but first let me look the word
It's
up.
A fancy professor word for dictator. But it's funny because it's so perfectly him. He's like, oh, I'm going to get this guy. You ready? Autocrat. And all of his aides are like, what? Is that bad? What does that mean? Go ahead, David.
See, it's the type of word only a fella in a tan suit would know.
There you go. Oh, nice.
Throwback. SpaceX Starship blew up last night during a test in Starbase, Texas. Video online shows Ship 36 exploding into a massive fireball. It was expected that it would be used for the next Starship launch. The explosion happened during a static fire test. And the
makes me sad they don't name them.
I know, right?
All you get is a number? Ship 36? Something personal.
At this point, if you get past the first launch, you might get a name.
Yeah, right. Well, I wonder, you know, how that exactly works. You know, maybe they don't want to get too attached.
That
you
could
know.
Be.
Go on.
And the Supreme Court is now backing a Tennessee law that blocks gender transition care for minors. It's being viewed as a setback for transgender rights. The 6-3 ruling from the court could have some impact, as 24 other states have similar laws to the one in Tennessee.
Yeah, this is a very interesting case. Thanks a lot, David. I appreciate it. Others, the majority on the court, would view it as upholding the Constitution and the right of representative democracy, where the elected officials in the state of Tennessee and now 24 other states can do what the majority of people in their states want, which is to not inflict horrendous medical and or hormonal treatments upon children because of their temporary gender dysphoria. It may or may not be permanent. One doesn't know when they're 14 or 13. But like so many Supreme Court cases, this is one that I think people don't really understand because people don't bother reading the case or listening to the oral arguments. It was not decided that transgender treatments, sex change operations, what we used to call them, is one, or, you know, hormone interventions might be another one. We've used such euphemistic terminology that we kind of neglect to even think about what's actually being done to these kids. But it didn't decide that it was good policy. What it decided was, and it didn't even decide that, like, Tennessee was right for making the choice. What it decided was that of the three levels of scrutiny that you give to laws under the Constitution, whenever there's any kind of an equal rights challenge, this gets the lowest standard of review. It gets a rational basis review. It doesn't get heightened scrutiny, and it doesn't get, or intermediate scrutiny. It doesn't get strict scrutiny. And the reason those things had come up is because there's a gender element to it. If it had been, you know, based on, like, women get this treatment and men get this treatment, if the law distinguishes between men and women, it has to really justify itself. If it distinguishes on people based on religion, it has to really, really, really show that it's a justified law, strict scrutiny. And what they ruled is that this is not at that level. It is only at the rational basis level. So basically all Tennessee has to show is that the law makes sense to them. That's it. So it was really the case was over what level of scrutiny this kind of law gets. Rational basis, it passes that bar according to six of the justices, and that's the end of the case.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Dozens of Israelis are injured in missile strikes from Iran. The Soroka Hospital in Beersheba, the main hospital in southern Israel, takes a direct hit.
Hospital officials said the patients were removed from their beds. They were put in shelters, and they said they actually had word to clear the main building that was hit.
Fox's Greg Palcott. Israel's military says it's hit a key nuclear site in Iran. The State Department is unsuspending applications for foreign student visas with more social media screening now.
That means visa applicants will have to make their social media accounts public. The Trump administration wants diplomats to review posts for signs of hostility towards the U.S., support for terrorism, or anti-Semitic content.
Fox's Carmen Roberts. The application process was suspended last month. Hurricane Eric is a major Category 4 storm ahead of landfall on Mexico's southern Pacific coast this morning. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now we've got partly cloudy skies. It is 74 degrees. I'm sorry, 76 degrees now in Pensacola. Well, if you're traveling by air this summer, make sure your boarding pass does not include the dreaded SSSS or Secondary Security Screening Selection. If you've received an SSSS, TSA officers pull you aside for additional security that can range from having your luggage searched, your electronics checked, physical pat-downs, or additional questioning. Manny Diaz Jr. now confirmed as the interim president of the University of West Florida. That confirmation yesterday approved by Florida's Board of Governors. One member of the board did vote against that confirmation, former chairman Eric Szilagyi. He questioned Diaz and UWF staff regarding salary and other items related to that. In Niceville, an investigation is underway after an attempted child abduction was reported by a child. Police say that child was approached while walking home earlier this week and offered a ride by an unidentified white male in a blue SUV or minivan. A juvenile reports that that man attempted to grab his arm and force him inside the vehicle. The child refused the ride. Police say surveillance cameras did not capture the relevant portion of the roadway when the entire thing is said to have happened, so the suspect was not caught on video. Again, an investigation into that incident continues. The Escambia School Board, eight rehabilitated sea turtles were released Tuesday at Topsail Hill Preserve State Park. The turtles were rehabilitated at the Gulfarium, which had been the medical team cleared those turtles, which included several Kemp's Ridley sea turtles, a critically endangered species. One of them was equipped with a satellite tag. And other turtles included loggerheads and green sea turtles. Turtles recovering at the Gulfarium can be seen if you visit their marine park. Nine illegal immigrants that had been previously deported from the U.S. are now being indicted on some new charges related to re-entering the country illegally. A release yesterday from the U.S. Attorney's Office says those arrests were part of Operation Take Back America, which is a nationwide initiative to repel illegal immigration. In Northwest Florida, immigrants were arrested in Pensacola, Gulf Breeze, Santa Rosa County, and Fort Walton Beach. Now, others were arrested as far out as Tallahassee and Madison County. It's 534 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 forecast with Brooke Richardson.
We do have a 60% chance of showers and thunderstorms throughout your day today, high near 90 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 75. For Friday, 50% chance of rain, high near 91. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 76. Going into Saturday, 50% chance of rain with a high near 91. And Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 77. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV Weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And right now, 78 degrees. Our next news at 6 o'clock. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. The Mortgage Bankers Association says the average interest rate for 30-year mortgages decreased to 6.84% from 6.93% last week. Mortgage demand from homebuyers dropped 3%. Demand to refinance a home loan dropped 2%. Nielsen reports that for the first time, streaming services have eclipsed traditional television and overall U.S. TV viewership. YouTube, Netflix, Paramount, and other streaming services combined attracted 44.8% of all television usage in May. Nielsen found that total viewership for cable and broadcast networks was just a whisker behind, with 44.2% of television usage. Ram Trucks plans to introduce an industry-leading warranty across its 2026 vehicle lineup this year. The warranty covers the engine, transmission, transfer case, drive shafts, differentials, and axles for 10 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first. It replaces Ram's current 5-year or 60,000-mile warranty. That's Your Money Now.
Only in the forest can you see this. And this. And this. But nothing beats the moment you see that.
Cool!
That's your child's eyes opening up to a world of possibilities.
I didn't know it could do that!
Because one trip to the forest can spark a world of difference.
There are some moments only the forest can inspire. Find yours at discovertheforest.org. Learn about forests near you and discover cool things to do when you go, like hiking, canoeing, fishing, or camping. Or create your own adventure with family and friends, and you might just see this. Your moment's out there. Find it at discovertheforest.org. That's discovertheforest.org.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Coming up on the 4th of July at 7:30 is the Pensacola 4th of July Fireworks, presented by Pensacola Young Professionals and the Pensacola Chamber. Reserve your spot along Bayfront Parkway to listen to the Pensacola Symphony's presentation of Sparks and Stars at Community Maritime Park. Listen to the broadcast live at 7:30 right here on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Continue listening at 9 as the fireworks on Pensacola Bay and Pensacola Beach will be synchronized to the music on News Radio, presented by Penn Air Credit Union. Bring your radio and watch the Pensacola 4th of July fireworks.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services. Advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
News Radio Pensacola has you covered no matter where you are or how you like to listen. Tune into our frequencies on 92.3 FM, 95.3 FM, and AM 1620 for the latest breaking news, local updates, and in-depth analysis. Can't be near a radio? No problem. Stream us live on our website or through our convenient app. Available for download on your mobile device. Plus, with our smart device integration, you can ask your virtual assistant to play News Radio 92.3 and we'll be right there with you. It's News Radio Pensacola.
I think FP&L might be salivating at the fact that we're going to raise rates and penalize people in the city for something that was not their fault. You know, the city did this, the city charged it, it wasn't supposed to charge it, and if we come back with a fee that's higher than what the franchise fee was, or an increase in rates of what's higher than what the franchise fee was, that's just a penalty to the citizens. I think it's going to hurt us long term. I would hope that our director of Pensacola Energy would understand that as well. I think it's going to hurt us, especially competitively.
So this is City Councilman Charles Baer talking about the Pensacola Energy settlement with the $15 million for the franchise fee that was not allowed to be applied under the ordinances. And, you know, the question then is, we're going to do a rate study, and will the rate study justify raising rates? And he says he worries that if we raise rates, FPL is just going to get, you know, all of the customers that are going to flee from Pensacola Energy over to FPL. Joining us now, we have Mayor D.C. Reeves, the mayor of Pensacola. Mr. Mayor, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Thank you so much for having me. Good morning.
Good morning. So I was less, I mean, I want to get your reaction to that, the comment of, you know, losing customers or whatever, but do I... Jennifer Brayer gave an explanation of the history of this problem, and she said that it was originally called a service charge or something like that, a user fee, and then Gulf Power at the time asked for it to be changed to the phraseology of a franchise fee, and then you got sued over it being a franchise fee, and that's the whole reason that this lawsuit exists. If you'd have just kept it as a user fee, this never would have happened. Is that correct?
Well, I will heed the advice of the city attorney right after Jennifer Mayer, who said this is still an open lawsuit. That being, it's not, we have not brought it to closure. We have what we believe to be an agreement. But I will say this in a general sense. Obviously, I was not there when this was all happening
right,
and taking
right.
place. That is my general understanding, is that we're talking about, you know, word games. As it pertains to how we, you know, the lawsuit was, well, how we changed it to that and then back. And here we are. And of course, as I've said many times, the best case scenario would have been for this to have been dealt with at the time.
Sure.
You know, and what I was not going to do was continue to prolong this now. And we looked at what our options were, about an appeal, about all these things. And certainly, that would have been available to us. But, we're trying to mitigate risk and do what's best for the citizen and get this behind us. So, we'll see what happens moving forward in terms of, I know we'll talk about, you know, rates and what that means when you have that type of settlement going out. But what I can tell you now, I'll have probably a little more candid opinion when this is all said and done.
Gotcha.
But what I can say now is I'm glad to have it behind us and we can move forward.
This business about the rates increasing, losing us customers, losing the city, I should say, customers to FPL, is that a realistic concern? I mean, rates have to go up anyway. I don't know how else you fund the replenishment of the rainy day fund or whatever. But I mean, is that a legitimate concern?
We have an amazing team at Pensacola Energy that has, if you go to all of our city departments and from a leadership standpoint, from a continuity, from a low turnover standpoint, Pensacola Energy does a fantastic job. So here's what I know. I know that we're going to be in the best position to be successful. I believe I'm reading headlines about FPL's rates increasing too.
Right.
I think that's obviously, as I always like to remind people when I have the chance, city governments are not immune to inflation, to rising costs of goods. As a matter of fact, I could make a case that we're more susceptible to those things because of procurement processes, because of bids and the transparency that comes with that. I actually think we might even be more susceptible to rates increasing and the cost of doing business going up than a private business was, like I used to be in. I think we were even at a private business a little more nimble. So here's what I know. We've got a great team there. We will do everything we can. I feel 100% confident that we'll continue to remain competitive and/or be a more viable option than your other utilities, and go from there. But I have no concern long term at this point that this is going to cause a significant issue with operations or revenue.
I saw your comments on Studio 850 yesterday when you were after the Miraflores Park event, and you were talking about the Escambia Children's Trust and kind of the sort of headline version of this is that the city is demanding the money from the Children's Trust, but you seem to say that this is really a formality and it is not of the sort that it's been characterized. It's really an ongoing process of relationship and serving kids that need it the most. Is that right?
That's right. And so, yes, we did send from a legal standpoint, we sent the letter. Think of it this way. Let's say we've come to an agreement on the child care access priority that I really want us to take on, that we had a great meeting about. We'll have another one in July. Let's assume that all of those details were worked out. We knew exactly how we were going to spend the money. We're ready for an MOU with the trust. We couldn't even sign an MOU with the trust until we'd sent this letter. So it's a procedural part of this. They were fully aware ahead of time that this was coming. We weren't surprising anybody. So I understand the confusion of it, because it says, well, wait, the mayor is going to work with the trust, and now there's this demand letter. But this is just a step in the process to get where we want to go. So no strategic change from me, no operational change from me. I really appreciate Lindsay and how hard she's working with us in collaboration to do something good for the city. And so my intent at this point is to continue to work with the trust board, to work with Lindsay, and have positive outcomes. This is what the taxpayers voted on, was for child services, not for stuff that is near children. This is for child services. And so I'm committed to that at this point. And, we'll continue those conversations. No change in that whatsoever.
D.C. Reeves, people ask me periodically to ask you the status of the post office and the downtown, reshuffling or whatever of a new post office location. Do we know anything?
Yeah. Hey, listen, I always love the rapid fire questions to get that information out. I appreciate it. Nothing new from the last update a few months ago, other than the last I've heard, actively pursuing a downtown location very close to the original. So, and I have not been notified by anyone involved that has changed.
Okay. Since we're in this vicinity-ish, Grand Hotel, any update?
We continue to be. I had about an hour-long phone conversation with the ownership group. And what I'm really excited about is I expect that the vision plan that the city is going to fund, and in partnership with the county, remember July 10th at the Bay Center, we're having a joint meeting,
right,
where city council, the county commission, and myself can vet out this group and make sure that their Smith G Studio is the organization I'm bringing forward. And if we're good with it, let's go. And if not, we can turn to someone else. But we are going to include both the Tech Park and the Grand Hotel as part of the vision. That doesn't mean that those are going to, those have encumbrances, right? One's
right.
Private property, economic development property. But I think for the greater good of the generational plan for this area, that those need to be included. So we continue to work with the ownership group. And I think the success of the Bay Center and whatever else is coming to the Bay Center is going to be paramount that we figure something out at the Grand Hotel. So we continue to kind of handhold that and move it forward.
You got asked yesterday also about something that I was also wondering about, or maybe not asked me. It was at City Council meeting. The investigation into Bill Bond, which has to do with allegations of embezzlement, is how I understand it. Pensacola Police Department is working on this. The investigation is ongoing. Pretty concerning stuff. Theoretically, we're talking about a fair chunk of money if any of this turns out to be true. But it raises the question of out-of-house management of athletic organizations rather than in-house. And I thought you gave some pretty good answers on this, and I wanted to give you a chance to say them again to our audience. So,
sure.
Address it however you want to address it.
Yeah, thanks. Well, on the specific Bill Bond issue, it's an open investigation. You can ask Mike about it tomorrow if you want. But and remember, we have dozens of investigations on the individuals, on nonprofits, on businesses happening at any given time. So that I want to make clear of that. Second, I want to make clear that it's not the allegation or investigation has nothing to do with finances that are coming to or from the city itself. Our only relationship to this group, or any of this, whether it's soccer or baseball, is the use of the venue. There's no revenue sharing or anything like that. There's no financial relationship between the two.
There's not even appointment of board members or anything like that. There's literally no relationship
correct.
Other than subcontracting. Right. Go on.
And to put it more concise than I said yesterday, I think sometimes when we talk about in-housing sports, in-housing landscaping, I mean, what I've learned in 3 years in this job is there is a grass is always greener feeling about, well, why don't we just run soccer? Why don't we run baseball? Why don't we run the pools? Well, you know why? Because we used to run the pools and we lost about three times as much as we are when we partner with YMCA. That's why. So to be good stewards of taxpayer money, all I got to do is get on Facebook to hear somebody make a general swipe at government, sometimes very valid, of saying things take too long, it's too expensive, they don't know how to operate X, Y, and Z. Yet, for some reason, when it comes to youth sports, apparently cities and counties are ultimate experts in running these leagues. So, you know, I think understand we've got Roger Scott Tennis Center is run by a private organization. We have opted that out. Baseball, soccer. What I want is as long as the rates are competitive for our youth, that the fees to play stay competitive within the market. I mean, go out to Bill Bond one day, go out to soccer one day. How many parents are volunteering out there and giving up their Saturday and giving up their weekends to referee games and all of that? Like, that doesn't just switch over if we were to start to internalize and run sports ourselves at the city. You know, there's a lot of good and positive that comes out of these leagues that are passionate about helping our kids. And I just get a little impatient with the idea that if we just snapped our fingers and the city in-house anything, that somehow magically would mean it operates better and it operates at a profit. I don't feel like that's the case. I think we need to lean on our partners, lean on our community to help enrich our kids. And I think we have a lot of success stories with that here in the city.
Yeah, it's an interesting thought because, you know, like you ran the bar, obviously, for a long time, Perfect Plane. And, you know, if you love what Perfect Plane was doing, the idea that somehow if the city acquired Perfect Plane and then city employees ran Perfect Plane, like let's say the Parks and Rec Department ran the brewery, that it would suddenly be everything as good as it had been before is, I mean, you know, there's no reason to assume that. And that's a situation where you don't even have to depend on, like you said, all the volunteer hours and all that kind of stuff. So, no, I thought that was a good point, that the richness of the culture of the organization doesn't necessarily just translate over when the city, you know, in order to solve this problem, do you create other problems? And, you know, like I said, I thought that was a fairly sophisticated answer. What happened with this construction equipment on 9th Avenue? The street swallowed an excavator. What happened here?
Yeah, good question. I had the same reaction you did when I saw that. So it was obviously there's we have two enormous stormwater mitigation projects happening along our bayfront right now. One is by Joe Patty's.
Right.
Remember, starting July 7th, Main Street for two blocks will be shut down for about 10 weeks. And then the one right at Admiral Mason Park in Veterans Park there, which is where this happened. So I was asked, you know, are we worried about other concerns about things falling in? No, this was obviously construction related. We were already digging up some ground. And there was just a little mishap there. No injuries or concerns. It was about, we just had to close both sides of 9th Avenue for about 8 hours. And we, about 2 a.m, I think, yesterday, we were able to get it up and back to normal. So just one of those things when you're doing a multi-million-dollar stormwater project that didn't go exactly as planned, but we're all good and back to normal.
Interesting note about the airport that maintenance is going to require that the east-west runway is going to be shut down for about 10 months, and that's going to be the north-south runway is the only one that's going to be operational. Is that right?
That's right. And these are much-needed modernizations, FAA grants. I mean, we're talking in the tens of millions. Mm-hmm. So it's a net good thing long-term is to have a more modern runway that meets all the standards that FAA requires. It's much needed. But yes, we will be down to one runway, but no fear. If you've got a flight, that there should be no operational impacts whatsoever. This is not saying like we now only have half the flights because we've got only one runway. Nothing like that. So everything will be as normal. And we end up with a brand new runway coming in east-west that has all of the modern safety protocols, enhancements that are required by the government. So net good thing, but hey, whether it's Palo Fox Street, whether it's the stormwater projects, Andrew, you know, there's nothing. If you want something good, there's going to be some inconvenience to get there, and I think that's, you know, what we're dealing with a lot of progress around the city.
And if anything, Walmart's going to be noisier, and Baptist Hospital is going to be quieter, at least for a little while. And we also, by the way, we had an incident where one of the Texans from Training Air Wing 5 had a hard landing at the airport yesterday. The pilots were taken to the hospital, I guess. But any update on that?
Yeah. Obviously, a striking incident to hear about, but as positive an outcome as you could have. Yeah, no landing gear as the Texan came in. But I think in the greater good, I think it reinforces, and it's what I shared with our elected leadership in Washington, D.C. last week, which is this isn't just an airport that's growing at a record pace. This is whether it's touch and goes, whether it's the military involvement, or whether it's a situation like this. When you're a commercial airport in a military town, you are part of the military installation and you're part of the effort.
Right.
And so that makes us unique here. And, you know, here's another example that, you know, we are, whether it's training pilots, whether it's emergency situations, whether it's trying to enhance training, you know, we are part of this military effort. And so thank goodness nobody hurt and no incident other than obviously we had to have the runway closed down for a short period of time.
Right. And as, you know, we all know, there's lots of military activity at the Pensacola International Airport all the time. All right. We always like to end with a lightning round. First question, is it or is it not okay to throw your trash, let's say the doggy bag or some random piece of debris on the road into somebody else's trash bin if it's on the curb ready for tomorrow's trash?
My answer is yes, and I am not hypocritical. I do not silently ridicule anybody if I saw them doing that at my house. And, you know, it's just neighbors helping neighbors, Andrew. That's
there
all
you go.
It really is.
Yeah. I think it's funny though. We do it and then we look like we're suspicious when we're doing it. Like we feel guilty doing it.
Very much so.
I hope I don't get seen. Right. 10 minutes or an hour or somewhere in between. How long is the DC Reeves shower?
Oh, 10 or less.
There you go.
Yeah.
Efficiency.
Yeah, not even close. Maybe 5. Yeah.
And when you're walking the dog, does the dog go on the sidewalk, in the street, or on the grass?
Usually completely inconveniently directly in front of me, whatever I'm doing. So including if my girlfriend's, you know, just as long as I go ahead, he goes ahead, and it just if you watch my walking pattern, it would be some type of weird zigzag because I'm just usually working my way around the dog.
So you have like the parade and horse phenomenon every day walking the dog.
Yes, that's correct. Yeah, if you wonder, if you see me walking in 45 degree angles, I'm perfectly okay. I'm just trying to get around my dog.
Ours do this thing where they stop and they go, and then the last thing they do is they try to walk across our shoes while they're finishing.
Yes,
it's like, why are you doing this? Mayor DC,
like, can I get in your way? How many times can I get in your way?
Yes, that's, it's amazing. Mayor DC Reeves, always a pleasure, sir. We'll look forward to talking again next week. Thank you for the time.
Hi, absolutely. Thanks.
You know how dogs do that, like butt walk, you know, when they're hunched over and then they kind of walk also, and especially if they're like scrubbing themselves on the,
right.
Okay. It's not quite that, but you know, Trinity especially is always like that. She'll like go and then she like tries to ambush you on your shoe. Like, what are you doing? What's?
But she's learned that that's a good scrubbing
device. It's so weird.
Device.
It's so weird. So you got to die. You know, you got to move your feet real quick. Get away. 557 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
Spring cleaning and remodeling is in the air. And at Jonathan's Flooring, you can get your beautiful luxury vinyl plank flooring with the texture of wood, waterproof, and longer lasting. Jonathan's Flooring offers the most affordable pricing, first-class workmanship and installation with a large selection of tile, carpet, and the latest in luxury vinyl plank flooring. Performance and sustainability is what makes Jonathan's Flooring the best choice for your floors this spring. Stop by Jonathan's Flooring, North Palafox, south of 9 Mile Road.
Delicious seafood is what you'll find at Davis Catfish House. Davis Catfish serves only the best Mississippi catfish, fresh Gulf seafood, and delicious homemade sides. Weekday specials include 2 times Tuesday, 6 free shrimp added to the 6-piece dinner. Wednesdays offer lunch basket specials. And everybody's favorite, Shrimptastic Thursday, $5 off all you can eat shrimp. Serving fresh seafood daily. Visit David's Catfish House on Dogwood Drive in Milton. See you at David's.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, Pep Talk. Mornings at 9, right after Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Thank you. Come again.
I took her out. It was a Friday night. I woke up.
Called her mom. 558 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with us this morning with our headlines. David.
Good morning.
Good morning. You got a headline for us?
Of course I've got a headline for you. That's just what I do. Let's see here. The former President Joe Biden is in Texas today. He's heading to Galveston for a Juneteenth event, marking the day in 1865 when enslaved people in Texas learned that they were free. Juneteenth became a federal holiday in 2021. And a quick
and
update.
And locally, too. I mean, all your local governments have done this. True, they're all on. Everybody's off today. Yeah.
Parade today as well.
Right.
The Martin
right.
Luther King Jr.
The combo parade.
That's right. And the Sean Diddy Combs trial picking back up tomorrow. They're taking a break for Juneteenth today. Apparently yesterday the proceedings were delayed because of a sick juror.
All right. Very good. David, thanks so much for the update. I know a lot of people still probably think of Juneteenth as a black holiday. It's really not. I mean, it's a commemoration, celebration of the liberation of formerly enslaved people in a combined effort to make that happen. So it's a great day for all of America. You're listening.